Hello, tennis fans, and welcome to another edition of the OTA's On Tennis podcast. Today, we're happy to welcome two very special guests, former ATP Tour player and current Tennis Canada touring coach Rob Steckley, and his newest student, one of Canada's Billie Jean King Cup championship team heroes and rising star, Marina Stakusic.
Well said.
Welcome to both of you, and thanks for taking the time to join us today, especially since you're fresh off the practice court and possibly heading to Washington.
Sunburn.
Yep.
And sunburn, I might add. Yes.
So. Even though you put 20 pounds of sunscreen every day.
Who does? Rob does? Rob.
I try. I
mean, really?
Safety first.
You look bronzed, though. It looks good.
Yeah, because I can't avoid
golden.
The sun.
So, it was actually a nice day to practice today.
It wasn't too hot.
So, you're hitting it well?
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Yeah. Well, listen, Marina, we're going to start with you. And Rob, as I said, feel free to jump in anytime.
Sure.
Marina, obviously your star has risen quite suddenly in the international scene. But here back at the OTA, as we demonstrated with that trophy earlier, we've known about your prodigious talent for quite a while. And so we're really pleased to have an alumni of sort back to chat with us and talk a little bit about the old times and the early days and that sort of thing. So without much further ado, I'm just going to ask you first, how did you get started in the sport?
Well, none of my family, none of them play tennis or anything, but my parents just went once like for fun to just these public courts. And then my brother was with them, my older brother, and he wanted to just start playing a little bit, and then he was like pretty good, so then they ended up putting him in lessons and stuff, and then the next year I started.
Okay.
I was like,
so it was in Toronto,
interested.
Right?
Yeah, I was in Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so no background in your family with respect to tennis?
No,
at all before that?
No background. Okay. My parents watched a bit of tennis, but not a lot. Just like, but nobody played.
Really? Yeah. Actually, your brother's a pretty good player in his own right. I mean, I know
he's
playing
he's good.
ITF tournaments and that stuff, and he's a hotshot junior. I think his name might be on one of our trophies or one
or
two as well.
Yeah.
So it runs in the family, I guess. Do you remember your first coach?
Yes.
Who was that?
His name is Dušan Mirkov. He was a Serbian guy from, one of my dad's friends.
Uh-huh.
And he just coached us like from 5 to, I'm not exactly sure how many years, but maybe like 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
4 or 5, I don't know.
So
like that.
So was he around when you first started playing OTA tournaments and that sort of thing?
Yes,
so
maybe right at the beginning, yeah.
Right, you're ready for that, for like the U8s and the U9s and all that. Oh, cool, all right.
Yeah.
And where was, did he teach you on those same public courts?
Public courts,
really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
In Toronto. Yeah.
You know, Tennis Canada is doing a whole public tennis initiative right now to try to get more, you know, try to find out who these people are. So it's kind of cool to listen to somebody who started in the public courts. I think you did too, Rob, didn't you, down at Thornhill?
I think it was North York.
North York? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I started my career on a tennis wall.
Okay.
As most of us did.
The best.
Yeah.
Love the wall.
I actually.
He makes me
hit the case. So.
Yeah, the focus and intensity there, just keeping it simple.
Keeping
can't
simple.
Can't beat it. I mean, I have not beat the wall yet.
I beat it.
But, yeah.
Beat it to death, maybe. I know you hit a hard ball, so
try.
Maybe that's. do you remember your first OTA tournament?
Yes.
How old were you?
I think I was 7 or 8, and I played against a guy.
Oh, yeah?
And I won.
Oh, but Billie Jean King would be so proud of you. That's amazing. Okay, so it was like a U8.
I think it was, no, it was U10. I never
U10.
Played U9 or U8 or anything like that.
Maybe
I started at U10. I think it was Ace.
At Ace,
I'm pretty
in Burlington,
sure.
I guess,
in Burlington, yeah.
Oh, man, well, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
We won't mention the fella's name.
Yeah, no. We'll keep it. I don't even know his name, to be honest.
So did you... Do you remember, like, it isn't actually that long ago, come to think of it, because you're only 19, I think, right? But do you remember the feeling of, like, getting that first victory and what it felt like? Was it something that was intoxicating to you, like, or was it just like, whatever?
I mean, obviously I was happy, I think. Like, it was a while ago, so I don't remember exactly. But, I mean, any win is, like, you get excited, obviously. So,
I mean, deep down you would consider yourself a competitor.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you actually played, we looked it up, you played a lot of OTA tournaments. Over like 400 matches, I think you played in total, which means, one, you're playing just about every
week.
Wonder
the work
set. Yeah.
And it's so hard to detangle.
But the good news is, that meant you were probably winning a lot of matches. To get 400, you have to, you can't be losing first round every time. So I guess you had some early success, because I noticed you started playing up in age category pretty quickly. And also, I guess when you got a little older, you started mixing in some, national events, obviously, and also some ITF junior events. Can you talk a little bit about those days when you're sort of grinding it out from, say 10, 11, 12? I mean, was it just a whirlwind of get in the car, go to a tournament, practice, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I played quite a few tournaments, provincials, selections, all those. I remember I would get like so nervous too going to play those. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I won like provincials U12 and U14 or something.
You did, yeah.
But it was always fun to go and just like play, hang out with the other girls. Like they were fun times for sure.
So can you tell me a couple of, maybe in the U16 or U14, some of the other young Ontario juniors that you played, and do you still keep in touch with them today, and are some of them still playing at a serious level?
Yeah, I mean, I keep in touch with like Vicky and Boko, like probably the most, and Cadence, Brace, Kayla Cross, like I've trained with them the last few years too a little bit. They're obviously still playing too, which is pretty cool.
It's actually a pretty good cohort amongst the girls in that age. Actually, when you think about it, you got a pretty good crop of young Canadians, led by yourself. So that's amazing. Now, Rob, over to you. Before your coaching days, you were actually a player yourself. You played Davis Cup for Canada. You were on the tour for a while. You played in the, I guess it was the Rogers Cup at that point. And you came through the junior ranks as well. You were an OTA brat as well, right? Without any suspensions, we think. But we won't talk about that. But certainly you had a lot of success playing in the juniors for a while as well. So, now that you've seen Marina and some other young players coming through today, do you notice any stark differences or similarities between the way things were back in your...
Yeah, don't get me started. First of all, cell phones. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty similar. I think that the importance of playing back in the day, I think there was just a bigger picture in terms of like less opportunity. So you really had to pick a lot of tournaments throughout the weekends. I think now what I see is people with so much more opportunity going bigger than they really should. And they start a little more home base rather than just fleeing and going, trying to play international too quick. So I think that happens a lot, which there's a disconnect. But because there's an abundance of tournaments now, you can find a higher level tournament, but weaker, abroad, where I think back in the day, it was just play the weekend tournament, win the tournament, see where you're at. The quality of the tournament was quite high back in the day.
Right.
So there was a little bit more depth there.
Yeah, I think because you're right, because a lot of the kids take off at 13, 14 and go international, and kind of has diluted the draws both nationally and even provincially over the years, which is kind of sad. But because, I mean, I think back in the day, it was quite prestigious to win the provincials.
Exactly. That's the thing. When you hold a draw, the provincials and the nationals, there was weight to that. And I feel like when I talk to anybody coming up now, there's definitely not the same type of respect there. And then you ask them, where do you belong? And they're just shooting for the stars. So it's like, first go ahead and win.
Yeah.
But then when you kind of dissect it, it's diluted. So I can see why that's kind of a disconnect now.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, thanks for playing and winning a couple of our events. I think it's a great, you're a great role model for the next, the kids are 9 or 10, 11 years old now, to see that hard work and gradual progression is definitely one path you can take. So that's, and Rob, I think you echoed that really well. I think number of matches versus training, Rob, like what have you got Marina doing right now with respect to your, the balance between off-court sessions and tournament play? I mean, it's a bit of a magic formula, I think, isn't it?
I mean, it's kind of always trying to figure things out as you go. So when I took possession of our little stallion here, they had already been doing a great job, and I kind of piggybacked off of that. But I felt, you know, we needed to put some work in, but at the same time, she also needs to win matches. So at the stage she's at, there really is no got to take 5 weeks off, do a training block, then get back in. We do need to have the importance on both. So I think the interesting part with her is trying to navigate through work and winning while we're out on the road. And then the small opportunities throughout the year, such as this one, after, you know, a long, extensive, busy European circuit, we decided to take a handful of weeks because the opportunity was in Toronto. So right. Rather than going rushing off and trying to play some matches, building for the next 2 to 3 months was really important. But I didn't know that would transpire until we kind of spent some time in Europe and seeing how things unfold. And she did an exceptional job there in just having a little bit more attention to not having to win and cementing some of the stuff that we really want to put into effect, you know, right. in the next year or two. So,
So Maureen, over to you. Speaking about Rob, tell me a little bit about Rob's coaching style. He's obviously had tremendous coaching experience, particularly on the WTA circuit with the likes of Lucy Safarova and that sort of thing. I remember when we interviewed him a while ago or spoke to him a while ago, he did say that, I think it was something like there's a time to be serious and then there's also a time to have a little bit of fun, and I think he probably mixes that in well. So you did say that.
I did, and I remember it, and it was with Glenn that morning. I hadn't slept yet, but it was a great evening and a great day spent with Glenn.
So has Rob sort of adopted that style with you? Is it a good mix of like work hard but also, you know, have a little bit of fun?
Yes, absolutely. Like I remember the first trip that we had last year. I was like, when I came back, I was like, I actually really enjoyed that trip. Like, it was fun. But when we were on court, it was like absolutely 100% serious, like, you know, but still like joking around, but like the work was there and everything. So it wasn't like, you know, completely joking or anything, but we had like, we put in a lot of work on court, but off court it was lighthearted and fun. So that's what I liked about Rob.
Right.
Good.
And is, do you think he's a good technical coach?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Good.
So what are you guys working on together in terms of, like, we all know you can hit the snot out of the ball for sure. And, you know, other things, but what, you know, what are you guys working on to take it to the next level?
No. Let's see if you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The hot seat's on you, sister.
Okay. I'm kidding. We're working a lot on like getting into position, footwork, so that I can hit the ball earlier.
Okay.
That's his main
thing.
Early.
Take it early.
Yeah, hit the ball early.
Sure.
I have sometimes habits of hitting the ball a little bit late, so, or a lot late, I don't know. But
yeah, I've actually seen that drag a little bit.
Yeah, I actually noticed that.
So that's going away, is it?
Okay. Yeah, it's slowly going away and just pretty much making my game more like efficient and more like Federer, because that's where I'm going to be soon.
Where?
Like Federer.
Like Federer?
Yeah.
Elegant. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's basically starting from the ground up with her, but really trying to give her the best possible outlook on understanding how her body works. I think that's where, when I came in, she really wants to hit hard, but then the confusion of how that happens and how she's able to be in position, why it's important, what muscles to focus on. So there's a lot that goes into it, and I think that's where she's really doing an exceptional job, because she has to be aware of everything. But I think people have told her the right things. You know, like, what does early mean? Well, early starts by what it feels like after the ball's left your strings and where the focus goes and how, you know, you channel all of that. But it's not just look early, hit the ball early. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm really trying to help break it down, because I've done that throughout the years with all my players. But it's just different with everybody else, but it has gone a long way when they understand why you are supposed to be open, how to look at that opportunity, to channel it, where the focus goes, if you've pulled up on a ball, where to put the focus, so you don't consistently play in a panic mode, right? And I feel like when her game, you can see opportunity when she's there and cranking the ball, and she's, even if it's late, I've even told her, I can understand why it's lethal, like it's unpredictable, but what we have found over and over again that it's very hard to maintain this. So unpredictability is one thing, but the consistency is the other thing. So we're really trying to package and lengthen the amount of time she can stay in a rally, but also get rid of it and not get rid of it and not know what she's trying to do with that, because this is what is lying ahead of her, you know, as she climbs the ranks. And you know, I'm very familiar with, you know, what's inside the top 50, 40, 20, 30, 10. It's substance, and a lot goes into, you know, the whys and hows, and they already have been doing it for so long. So that's the process that she's in.
Right.
And she's doing a great job.
Good.
She's handling it. And so, yeah, where she'll be in the next year or two is...
You just wrecked my last question.
That's what I do best.
Actually, you know what? I did notice, I mean, we'll talk about the Billie Jean King Cup later, but you came to the fore. They were on television a lot, and a lot of people noticed a lot about your game. And one thing I picked up on is you actually don't mind getting into the net once in a while. You're actually quite a good volleyer, and it seemed like you were trying to get there. Is that something that you're also working on, or will that be increasingly an element that you'll add into the game? Because it seems that's the way the game is going a little bit.
Yeah.
So. And do you like getting up there?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do.
Good. Okay. Yeah. So let's just go back a little bit. After the junior days when you were playing up and all that, you had to start playing ITF, women's circuit tournaments, pro tournaments, right?
Yeah.
And you've had a pretty good record. I think you've played over 100 matches and had a very good winning percentage. Did you win the Tevlin here in Toronto?
Yeah,
that was like your biggest one. That was a 60K,
that was nice,
right?
Yeah.
That was amazing, actually. I remember that was like 2022 maybe?
It was last year.
Was it last year? Yeah. Okay, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Time flies there, big boy.
Yeah. Oh, it does fly, that's for sure. But that must have been sort of, until recently, like until that time, kind of a big highlight for you to win at home and a pretty, pretty big ITF tournament. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, it was so fun, like, to play here. I used to come here sometimes and watch, like, the players before. To win the tournament was really cool, really special. Like, all my family came to watch, too, which was nice. And just being at home playing, like, it's the best. So.
And, yeah, you knew the environment well, having spent many hours
on
the court there. And, of course, the super fan Tevlins don't hurt. They love all the players, right?
They're
such nice people. So I hope that tournament, I hope they continue to sponsor. Because I think it's a big jump up. I mean, I will say this. Tennis Canada has put more money into ATP Challenger and ITF and even small WTAs, I think, now. And I think that's really helping your generation, actually, that you can actually be a home favorite, right? Whether you're in Calgary or Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
And you won in Calgary, too, I think, right?
I got to the finals of doubles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I mean, that's a good tournament. It makes you feel like a pro,
It's
right?
a nice tournament, for sure, the whole facility and everything.
I would love to see the Tevlin get more people and more fans, like really make it more like a tour event, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It was like, it's only six people.
Yeah,
you can hear like one person.
Yeah,
like
they should get somehow like more people to come and watch. It'd be cool.
You know what I'd love to see for that tournament, actually, and other ones in Canada, is to actually, depending on the timing, is to get clubs, like we have 260 member clubs, to get the kids from the summer camps to come, bring them up for a day, bust them up. I think that'd be a really cool thing.
That's great.
And,
idea.
You know, just add some pizzazz to the event. But you know what? You've been grinding it out, going different parts of the world. And then, how on earth did you, back in 2022, you got a wild card into the NBO, or was it the Rogers Cup then? So that was like your first kind of big opportunity in a way.
I had to play the pre-qualies.
Pre-qualies?
I won the pre-qualies, and then I got a wild card because I won the pre-qualies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wild card into...
Into the qualies.
Into the qualies.
Yeah.
That's a lot of matches
it's
in a
lot
short
of
period
matches,
of time.
Yeah.
And you know, high-quality matches, obviously. But you persevered through pre-qualies,
qualies, and then actually got in to the main draw. I mean, that must have been extremely exciting for
you. I lost second round qualies. I didn't.
Oh, did you?
Main draw.
Okay. So yeah. That was 22. So was it the next year then? 20.
I never actually played main draw.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this
so
is
you've
my
been in qualies.
Year. Yeah.
So this is it.
First year
this
playing main draw.
This is the first time you'll be.
Yeah.
In the real show.
Yes.
Oh, man. You must be looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's so exciting, like, here at home in Toronto.
Yeah.
I love Montreal, too, but, like, Toronto, this is, like, where I came, grew up,
yeah.
trained a lot, so it's going to be really exciting.
Friends. You came here from space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Friends, family.
I'm actually from Mars, in case.
So friends, family, and I'm willing to bet, because I've seen the crowd here before, that there might be a few Serbian flags floating around. You think so?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, when Djokovic plays here, it's like, hang
but
on.
But I'm
this...
Canadian, guys.
Are you? Okay.
I'm all Canadian.
Right. Right. Okay. But, yeah, but they'll adopt you.
Yeah.
They
yeah. yeah
so, which
sure.
is going to be great. I mean, all the
community.
Yeah,
all the Canadian
is.
Fans will obviously be backing you.
Yeah.
A few Serbian fans. So that'll be yeah. that'll be really fun. So let's look at that moment, Billie Jean King Cup. I mean, going back to before it started, how did you get selected? I mean, you were obviously on the Tennis Canada radar. How did you get selected? How did you hear about it? And what were your thoughts even before you actually got to play?
It was after I won my second pro title in California last year. Heidi called me and she just told me, like, we've been following, like, your results and whatnot. And, like, we... Like, I think you deserve to be on the team. And I was, like, obviously so excited. Like, first time playing on the team, which is, like, really cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she just called me. Yeah.
And was that, like, a couple months before the actual events? Or, yeah, I guess you would join in this late summer, was it?
It was 1 month before.
1 month before,
yeah,
okay.
1 month before, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Your family must have been
yeah.
thrilled, too, right?
Yeah,
so you knew
everybody.
You were, at that point, you knew you were on. It was game on. You were going to this
yeah.
event, right?
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to play, though, at all.
Well, that's what was going to be my next question. Because, yeah, I mean, you were one of the rookies on the, or probably the rookie on the, on
yeah.
the tour. And
yeah.
there's obviously a lot of big names. I guess the notable absentee was Bianca, who was kind of on a hiatus at the time.
Yeah.
I bet she regrets not
I know.
Being on that team. But, you know, it was all about the folks that were there. And
yeah.
it was compelling, the whole thing. But to me, even though Layla, you know, obviously played so many matches and was so instrumental.
Mm.
To me, your contributions were my favorite part of it, because I guess we're a little biased here, but also just coming to that stage, playing, you were like 300 or 400 in the world at that time, or 250,
yeah, yeah.
playing people in the top 50 and defeating them on this role. It's like one of the few things I've ever seen. It was one of my favorite, you know, moments in Canadian tennis. So how did, like, just take us how it went, like, first of all, getting into training camp with the girls before getting to know some of them, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was the team atmosphere? How did you guys train? And then we'll get into a couple of the matches.
Well, first of all, the team atmosphere was really good. Like, we were all getting along really well. We were all, like, super pumped to be there. And then the training week, like, leading up to it, or actually when we got to Spain, so, like, a few days before it actually started, we were all training really well. Like, I remember I was actually playing really well, and that's kind of why Heidi, like, told me, okay, we're going to put you to play, just because I was practicing really good the days before.
So practice is important.
Yeah, practice is very important there. Right, like, literally leading up to, like, the day before. So, but yeah, I mean, the team, like, they were all really nice. We got along really well. It was a great
week. Had each other's back, playing for each other,
yeah,
as well as yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, tennis is such a solitary sport. To be in a rare position where you're part of a team, and Rob, you've done it as well with playing Davis Cup. I mean, it's a different experience. I mean, it's almost like you're not quite alone. Right? You have somebody,
yeah,
or a whole team backing you.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been really exciting as well. To if you're feeling down for a second, you can look over and know that these crazy Canucks there that are rooting.
Yeah,
you on, right?
No, it was funny because at my first match, or actually not the first, the second match, the first point I won, they went crazy, all the Canadians. And after, when I watched it back, like, on my phone, the commentators were, like, laughing because the Canadians, like, everybody's standing up like this, like, drumming. I don't even know what else, what other instruments.
I know, there's some crazy drummer
for
there, isn't
very
it? Like
first point.
Vasek's brother or something? I don't know.
But No, it was obviously really fun, like, because you don't get that at every tournament, obviously. So it was nice to have that. It was a little bit different, but it was really cool.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, I mean, you had a serious job on hand. You were trying to win this cup. I mean, I'm sure the expectations going in were, hey, we have a chance, because, I mean, you know, you had some bona fide stars with Layla and Gabby and the doubles and that sort of thing. But then you started playing, and you won against, I think, three different players that are in the top 50, right?
Something.
Yeah,
like
somewhere in there.
Yeah, around there.
I mean, that must... And so were you in this zone, like, when the match was on and when it was over? It's like, okay. Like, how did that build so you kept on winning? What did that feel like?
Well, it helped that leading up to the Billie Jean King Cup, I won a few tournaments already. I won three tournaments out of four that I played, so I was feeling really good, confident, like, every time I would step on the court. And, just when I got there, I just kind of told myself to think of it as just another match, pretty much. And, yeah, I mean, I didn't have any expectations at all. Like, there was zero pressure on me, pretty much.
Right. So did you feel like
went out there and I was like...
So you're just playing loose, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if I'm being honest, there's zero pressure.
I know, you looked like so calm out there. It's like you were just having breakfast or something sometimes, you know? It was amazing. And like, and the opponents, of course, were losing their minds some of them.
Yeah.
They're going, how can I lose to this guy? I'm not sure, right? And then they did. And obviously, you know, we got to the final and it was against Italy. Did you start?
Yes, I started.
You started.
Yeah.
And was that a win?
Yeah.
It was a win, of course. Yeah, it was a great win. I mean, the team must have got, this can't be real.
Yeah,
right?
It was a little, like, I know after we won the semis, we were like, oh my God, like, how are we in the finals right now? Like, it was totally unexpected, but, yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. It's amazing. I mean, it was such cool coverage over here on TV.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, to be there was off the charts, but, like, everybody, even in the booths, were, like, just going crazy, you know? And then, obviously, I guess Layla closed it out.
Yeah.
What was that moment like?
I mean, like, honestly, I kind of forgot a little bit of what happened, like, after, because it was so exciting, like, adrenaline and whatnot, but it was so cool, like, I remember all of us just on the court celebrating, like, it was...
And you weren't even old enough, legally, were you? Or is it okay in Italy, or what?
Anything goes in Europe,
I guess so, yeah, that's funny. But, I mean, that kind of changed your life in a way, didn't it?
Sort of, yeah.
I mean, people around the world definitely know who you are, and you're working on your ranking now. I think, Rob, I think you're right, looking for these opportunities, but, you know, just keep on playing matches and having nice practice sessions and a slow build, I think.
Slow build, patience, because she got propelled. It showed her, gave her the belief where she is, but she's got a lot of work.
Yeah.
So it's just finding the balance, but understanding, like, you got to win matches and you got to put in a lot of progress now.
Yeah.
Because people do know who she is now. Yeah. So they start exploiting things. So that's the fun challenge, is to, like, now go from an 18-year-old kind of girl to a woman now, you know, and it's just that transition. And with tennis, it's interesting because you're almost asked to do it overnight now, you know, whereas people have years to figure it out. You don't have time. The luxury isn't there anymore. So you just have to now dial in. That's why, you know, it's something that we're going through and like that.
Yeah. I mean, things like this, I'm really happy you were able to do this for us, but I mean, you must get some more off-court demand, especially as we ramp up towards this event.
Yeah.
You'll be doing events and I imagine there'll be some sort of celebration the opening night. What are you laughing at?
Huh? What are you... Huh? Why are you laughing?
Oh, no, I'm just thinking about how empty your day is. And there's so much to do.
So
like,
much.
Like, go to your grandmother's?
Go to your house and chill.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Have you got a pool?
He's got a pool. Yeah. Honestly, it's been so nice. These two have become, like, part of my family. And then when I'm on the road, I'm part of their... But it's so cute. It's like, they come over, they hang out with my daughters. My daughters yesterday... You want to do this? You want to play? You want to draw? You want to go build something? You want to go outside, catch frogs? What do you want to do?
I guess they don't know you won the Billie Jean King Cup, right? To them, you're just like a new playmate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But it's fun. Else. They're so cute.
Well, that's nice. So it's nice to get a different perspective. But I really think from what I've seen of your personality that you're driven. You're not going to get too high or too low. You're going to just progress on.
And completely. Yeah. She's who she is. That's what I really like about her. She's got a great head on her shoulders. Yeah. Parents have done a great job. And like, she's very driven, which is easy for me to work with because I can be dialed and serious, but she also has the personality and she's human. And so it just works for me because that's how I am. And I couldn't work with anybody else outside of that. So,
how thoughtful.
Start crying.
So what's from here? Like, we're obviously a week or 10 days away from NBO, but there's a chance you might get into Washington starting this weekend, I guess. How much time we got? But you know, regardless of whether you get in there or not, you might go down and train there, or will you come back up?
I mean, we're gonna just wait until later today and see if I get into the tournament or not. And then,
I think they should put you in. That's my bias.
They should.
How many other Billie Jean King Cup champions are waiting to get in the tournament? Right.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's worth something. Personally.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Good point.
Give him a call.
Maybe you should
call him up, Petey.
I'll see what I can do. You know, us OTA guys were very influential, right? So, but okay, Rob. So, tell me a little bit about what type of player Marina is, both like physically and like mentally on the court and emotionally. Like, what is she, a banger? Is she an all court game?
She's a dog.
I'm a dog.
We're trying to toughen the dog up a little bit because they didn't mention what type of dog. She's a little poodle. She loves to play aggressive.
Right.
The common theme is like that's her strength. She wants to crank. She wants to be in there. She's got a great frame. It's just building everything up and trying to go from, you know, she shot up the rankings, but she's not, you know, a 50 frame yet. And I saw this when I was working with Dennis. He needed 2-3 years of physicality to get to where he is, to be able to understand, you know, you can say like, oh, he needs a slice. Well, his arms are noodles. So you got to build him up. His legs, his quads, and you're against men. Right. So it's the same thing with her, you know. We're going to teach her how to move because she can't hit explosive power without understanding how that body works, but at the same time, you got to build that body, and then you understand the efficiency of everything. And then once everything starts to click, she does it over and over and over again. Right. It just builds and builds. So, I mean, like I said, she's got her serves improved. Everything's improving, and the more that happens, gives her more confidence to play more freedom. And then, like I said, you just also accelerate the mindset and the structure of like tennis analytics. Building, you know, the tennis smarts. And there's so much room in there, but yeah, it's just a process and gradually.
And what do you think Rob's strengths are as a coach, since we will turn it around here?
I think that I really like how, like, he's very, like, he gets very into it and he pushes me, like, every single day. Every single day, nonstop.
Twice a day?
Six times a day. All day, every day. Pretty much. So he's like really taking the time to like help me, and I can really see that. And yeah.
Okay.
And he's obviously a really good tennis coach. He has a lot of experience.
But
also,
you know, I don't think he hits anymore. Does he actually hit with you, or does he get hitting partners?
Not really, maybe not once in a while.
Honestly, in Spain was the when I was still a little bit actively there, but I'm trying. I love to stay actively hitting just to see her ball. Like the other day, I learned something about like the inconsistency of like how it changes.
Right.
But I would need to be playing with her, which means I need to do 4 hours of physio a day. You know, I do enough gym and all that stuff, but I literally don't have the amount of time in the day. So just to, understand how the weight of the ball is and whatnot, but I'm best by her side, behind her.
Right.
But yesterday you couldn't really return my serves.
No.
They've improved.
What are you clocking at?
Have you tried
that?
Serious?
I'm kidding.
We need to get y'all.
We'll get the radar. We'll put the smash, the OTA smash cage up on the radar.
We need, that's not going to cut it.
But no, well, I mean, listen, weapons will separate at the WTA level, will separate the top 10 from the 50 to 100, I think it's going to be weapons, right? Because everybody can rally, right? And everybody can, I mean, I think emotional strength is also a big component, mental strength, because some people just crack under pressure when they reach a certain threshold, but you seem to be kind of, you know, incrementally moving up the rankings with that one blip of unbelievable fame, but I think you've taken it in stride and are still realize that this is now your job, I guess. Right?
Yes.
Do you feel that? That it's not just fun anymore, it's actually an occupation and something I want to do for at least the next 10, 20 years?
Yeah, for sure. Like,
I think that's also what we talk about too, because it's so fun working with her, because it's, you know, she gets this boost last year, but now, like she said, there's no expectation. So people are like, how did you do it? Because there's no expectation. She's playing off the confidence. And then you got to just do it again. And now it's
that's
a job.
The challenging part.
That's the challenging part. But now understanding, but there's not a doubt in my mind that she's not going to figure it out, because she wants it. So now it's like, you want it, but don't want it too much. And just finding all those layers to all of that stuff. Yeah. That's what everybody goes through. It's like, you got to prove at the beginning. I think Roger said it too. It's like, you got to prove. So there's so much stress. But then it's not a race. And as you get in there, and then it's figured out. And then you got other challenges. But
And you got to accept losing too, right? It's a big part of tennis. Like, there's one winner in every tournament, 31 losers or 127 losers or whatever.
It's so tough to swallow, you know? And it comes down to as simple as like accepting that you're going to make the right mistakes. Like, it's,
that's right.
You have to get good at that. You know, even as a coach, when I watch, it's like, it's the right mistakes. Do we want to make mistakes? No, but it's a clear path, you know, and me doing it for so many years now. Now I value, like, it's okay. The first 3 days, as long as you're understanding what muscle groups you're using, doing that, staying on the ball, that stuff can bring the ball in, no problem, way faster than avoiding it. So that's what we're trying to teach her, is to understand that philosophy and method, which on days that I've watched her play when nobody's around, how good are they?
So good. So good.
No, well, but it is, right?
Yeah.
It's so good.
So good.
we both are like, oh, we get so excited.
Well, you know,
next
like...
day,
oh, does he mock you out there sometimes? Oh,
yes,
really?
All the time.
Guilty. I know. Sometimes I feel bad, but then it's okay. You can make fun of me. I don't care. I don't do it in.
You know what? If you can laugh at yourself, though, I think that's
exactly what it is.
You clearly can.
Yeah.
Here you are giggling at his insults.
That's why I end up falling victim, because I'm like, man, she's almost baiting me into it. Because sometimes I'm over exaggerating so much. I'm like, this is ridiculous. What am I doing? And she just likes it. She's like,
I guess you're right.
Well, you know what? I mean, we're having so much fun here. I could go on for hours, but I know you guys are pressed for time. So I've got a little wrap up. It's a little thing called Getting to Know Marina. So we're just going to ask you a few quick questions, one or two word answers, and then we'll call it a day, and wait for your phone call at 4, and then hopefully we'll wait for you coming back with the trophy from Washington. But so here it is. Getting to Know Marina. Favorite meal?
Lamb.
Does Rob barbecue it up at his house once in a while for you?
He does steak, but I didn't try it yet. I guess we'll do it
soon. Serving meat. That's it. Next question.
Lamb is it, eh? Okay. Now, do you have a favorite musician or musical group that you follow? Or a few?
No,
if you want?
I don't. I don't know. Like,
country.
Oh, yeah. I like country. I like Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean.
Okay.
Right.
Country. Is it mellow? Mellow now with the country?
I'm all for it.
So,
Shaboozy.
Shaboozy. Heck yeah.
When you're not on the court, what do you like to do? What's your hobby?
Watch tennis videos.
Really? You're hardcore. You are a professional.
She's not even joking. No, she's like...
She watches all the Billie Jean King matches, right?
Do you think you're joking? She's like...
No, I like...
Is he smiling?
I go to the mall usually with my sister and we hang out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your sister who's sitting right behind us here.
My one friend.
Your one friend. Do you want to give a shout out to any of your sponsors or supporters?
Head.
There we go. Your head to toe. Head to toe, looks
head
like.
To toe, yeah. Very good. Lander. Jeff Lander, yeah. Oh, Jeffrey. Nice.
What a sweetheart. We all love Jeff, don't we?
Jeff's one of the greats, no
yeah.
doubt.
Yeah, he is. One of the OGs.
Speaking of history, I mentioned Billie Jean King and Jess there, but if you could pick one player, past or present, to hit with, not necessarily a match, just to hit with, anybody come to mind?
Novak Djokovic.
Novak Djokovic. Yeah.
Isn't that a shocker?
So I guess that would be, he's your favorite player.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ask who your favorite player in the WTA is, because you should say yourself. And why would you give anybody else credit who you're going to play, right?
I'm my favorite.
Exactly. Yeah. But did you have any sort of Canadian players that were maybe like people on the Davis Cup team, for example, who you looked up to when you were really young?
Yeah, I mean, all of them, like pretty much.
Yeah.
Milos, even Felix, Dennis, Layla, Bianca, like...
Yeah, they were. Yeah. I mean, they certainly, you know, cut a trail in the last 5 or 10 years, and you're now part of that, which is really exciting. If you weren't playing tennis, what would you be doing in terms of, like, if your tennis career do you have no plan B? Okay, I like that. That's a commitment to the sport.
Honestly, like, I don't know. I you're don't so know young, what I'd I mean. Be doing. Like, I always try and think of that, but then I'm like, I don't like anything else.
I think that's good to have that single-mindedness.
I don't know that if commitment. That's bad or if that's good.
It's a very good thing.
It's very
okay,
good.
Okay, that's good.
You know, because if 5 years from now you've had enough tennis, you're still so young. You can reinvent yourself or become an elite coach like our friend here, Rob. So, 100%. Yeah. I mean, do you see yourself staying in the game regardless? It's a real passion.
I can't see myself not playing tennis. Like, right. That's not in my brain.
I love it. I won't ask you who your favorite coach is. I now know. So, sorry, Rob, but we won't ask you. And, okay, so looking ahead 1 year. Oh, actually, we didn't even talk about Wimbledon quickly.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was so cool. Like being at the qualies, we played at another site.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, I gotta qualify so we can go to the main site.
Yeah.
Like, and when we got there, it was so nice. Like, oh, yeah, unreal.
It's the dream, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For every player.
Yeah, it's the dream for
it's
sure.
It's the reward for, it's the, yeah, really.
Grinding through the qualies. Grand Slam qualies.
And you want to know something? Like, Rob set a precedence. You better stick to him. He's been in a few boxes at Wimbledon and some of the majors and some of the other players. So he's maybe a good luck charm as well. So, but yeah, I mean, it's surreal. I was there as a fan years and years ago, and just the history, you can almost feel it, right?
It's
like the other majors are also awesome, but
something
Wimbledon
about
is that
something
one.
Else. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of grass? I mean, you must like it.
Yeah, I like grass.
Have you played up? The little place up north?
No. Oh, yeah, oh yes, I have. Yeah, sorry.
Richard's place.
I won the tournament.
Oh, see, you just forget all the tournaments. I won the Ontario Open.
Good.
Anyways. All right. So where do you see yourself in 1 year?
Playing on the WTA Tour full time.
I love it. I think you're making all the right steps. And, you know, I wish you best of luck. In this week, can't wait to see you back here at the MBO. I will definitely be sitting there in the stands somewhere and hopefully bringing the trophy home. And obviously, best of luck for the rest of the year. Both of you, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the On Tennis podcast. And maybe we'll do it again after you got a couple majors on your belt. All right. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you.